The series that we started a couple of weeks ago titled Call of Duty, and we're talking about spiritual warfare. Let me pray this morning with you. Father, today we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, knowing that His obedience has fulfilled a multitude of blessings available to us today. So today, Father, we take hold of that which Christ Jesus laid hold of for us. Every blessing that God, You have given through Christ, we receive it today. Give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, Father God, to receive the blessings and the truth of the Word of God this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. A couple of weeks ago, as I mentioned, we started this series and we read out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Read with me if you will. He says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." And again, a couple weeks ago, I just want to do a quick review. We need to remember that, look, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. People are not the enemy. The Bible says to owe no man anything but to what? To love him. You and I should reach out with love to one another. We should reach out with love to those who need to hear the gospel of Christ. The enemy is not flesh and blood. The enemy are spiritual wickedness in high places. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago that, listen, the devil does not have the same attributes as God. And you and I are not going to have a victorious prayer life. We are not going to walk in the blessings of God according to the Word of God until we realize that the devil is not number two. So many times people's theology is God's number one and the devil's number two. And if you don't listen to number one, then number two is going to get you. And that is so far from the truth, all right? We have a defeated foe. Jesus defeated him at Calvary's cross, all right? God is omniscient, okay? That means He's all-knowing. God knows everything. He knows you. The Bible says He knows every thought before you think it. Isn't that amazing? But the devil doesn't know everything. The devil doesn't know what you're thinking until you speak it out. That's why it's so important for us to speak the Word of God. But you know, so many times we're so quick to just say things. We're so quick to agree with what the enemy would want us to believe. We're so quick to doubt the Word of God. And really, that's how he gets in. See, he's been stripped of all of his power and authority through Jesus Christ. Remember, Adam and Eve turned that authority over to him in the garden, but Jesus has brought it back to us. And now the only weapon that the enemy has is deceit. He will deceive us the same way he deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. He will come and cause us to start to doubt the Word of God. And so that's the only weapon that he has. And so you and I have got to be careful to make sure that we're speaking things in line with God's word. And we'll talk more about that this morning. Number two, we need to realize that God is omnipotent, which means he's all powerful. God, in fact, the Bible says it this way. He is all power. He is all power. The devil is not all power. You need to understand that if you are going to be victorious, if I'm going to be victorious in spiritual warfare, we need to realize the devil is not this great big creature that Hollywood would have us believe. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 14 that when we see him, we'll say, "Is that him? Is that the one who misled the nations?" So he's not what we think. Okay, we need to realize that he is not all-powerful. God is all-powerful, and now he has given us power and authority in Jesus' name. God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere all the time. The devil is not everywhere all the time. Now, he has other demons, other fallen angels that go and try to deceive us, and we're going to talk more about that throughout the course of this series, but the devil is not everywhere all of the time. God is, and we just speak the word of God, and we live in victory. 1 Peter 5:8, it says this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The devil is looking for the person that he can devour, and that person is usually the one who is kind of out on their own, the one who is not really, that's why it's so important to be part of a life-giving body of believers. That's why it's so important to be part of a small group. That's why it's so important to have other people that we pray with on a regular basis. It's very hard to live a Christian life without having other people in our lives to be able to come alongside us and lift up our hands and to pray together and to have fellowship together and to learn the word of truth together. But it says he's seeking whom he may devour, and then he tells us in verse 9 to resist him steadfastly in the faith. And so when you and I resist the devil, the Bible says that he will flee from us. You want to know when the last time was that the devil fleed? It's when you resisted him. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. He is a defeated foe. Colossians 2:15, it says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Who did that? Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus, I mean, some theologians say that Jesus just marched all of hell through downtown heaven and showed them off because he defeated his foes. He defeated the foes that you and I have, and so now we have the victory through Christ Jesus. And I wanted to repeat this because, look, you and I are not going to have a victorious spiritual warfare, a victorious Christian life, if you will, if we don't understand those things. Ephesians chapter 6, 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God, and we'll be talking about that, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Four times in this passage of scriptures here, he says to stand. So what you and I are doing is we are standing on the promises of God. We're standing until we see the deliverance that God has promised us through his word. Now, I know some of us here this morning, we may be a little bit confused, thinking, okay, well, if I have a defeated foe, then what is it I need to wrestle with? Why is it I have a battle when there's a defeated foe? Again, he deceives us. And there's a portion of scripture I want to read that really helps us, I think, understand from a natural story the way the spiritual battle works. And you can take a look at this throughout the Old Testament, specifically in the story where God leads the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt as a type of our salvation. Then 40 years that they're in the wilderness. But then at the end of that 40 years, Joshua and Caleb take them into the promised land. Remember that Moses sent out spies and only two of them came back with a good report, okay? And it's really a picture of spiritual warfare. And so it helps us to understand that, look, even though God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, even though he's given us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord, we still have to go and possess what he has given us. And read with me, if you will, I think this will help us understand a picture of spiritual warfare. Deuteronomy 3, verse 18. Then I commanded you at the time, saying, the Lord your God has given, say has, he has given you the land to possess. All you men of valor shall cross over armed before your brethren, the children of Israel. So we're armed with the word of God, and we'll be breaking that down throughout the course of the series here. But he's given us the land, yet we're to cross over armed, verse 21. And I commanded Joshua at that time, saying, your eyes have seen all that the Lord your God has done. Say, has done. See, it's something that he's done. So it's a perfect picture of what we're talking about. These two kings, so will the Lord do to all the kingdoms through which you pass. You must not fear them, for the Lord your God himself fights for you. So Jesus is the one who has gained us our victory. You and I speak the word of God. The Bible says that the angels of God heed the word of God. It tells us that in Hebrews. It tells us that in Psalms, that they are ministering spirits who heed or listen to, obey, if you will, the word of God. Not only angels of light, but angels of darkness must obey the word of God. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But he goes on in verse 5 of chapter 4, and he says, surely I have taught you statutes and judgments. You can just put in the word of God. That's really a picture of the word of God and how we use it now in a spiritual sense to gain victory in our lives. He says, just as the Lord, my God, commanded me that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Verse 6, therefore be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding. Say, my wisdom. In the sight of the people who will hear these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Do you know the word of God makes you seem wiser than you are? Come on, somebody. The word of God makes you seem smarter than you and I really are. The word of God is what you and I should be living our lives according to, speaking it out, saying, that's what Jesus did for me. It's no different than when we first come into a relationship with him. He becomes our righteousness. And most of us here this morning, if we've made Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, we know what that is. He's made old things pass away. All things have become new. He has taken the sin away from us, and he has put his righteousness upon us. And so it's the same way as we claim the word of God over every area of our life. He has given us the land. Listen, winning or losing the spiritual battle determines our entry into what I'll just call successful Christian living. Okay? This is apart from salvation. If you and I want to live a successful Christian life, and I'm not talking about all of us being rich and having the biggest house on our block. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about living in the power and the authority of God that Jesus Christ gave to us. Then we've got to realize spiritual truths, and we've got to understand that there is a battle for our thoughts. There is a battle. The enemy's trying to get us to doubt God, trying to get us to doubt one another. That's a big trick that he uses, and we'll talk about that. I don't know if we'll be able to get to it today. We didn't first service, but maybe next week. But you and I have got to learn to speak the word of God, because the only way that we can defeat doubt and fear in our head that the enemy is trying to plant there and to deceive us is to speak God's word. But you know, most of the time what we're doing is we're speaking out the thing that's coming against us. We're coming in agreement with it, or we're starting to live our life according to a set of values or rules that we make up to ourselves because we haven't seen the word of God produce in our lives. And so we start to say, well, I know the word says this, but, and so this, and so that. And so, and we start to come up really with our own theology, and that is not a wise way for you and I to live. We need to make the word of God known to the principalities and powers of darkness. Ephesians 3:10 puts it this way. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom, say my wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, that's you and I, to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. And so you and I are speaking the word of God. We are saying, this is what the word of God says in my life. This is what I have. Therefore, I will believe what the word of God says. See, most of us, our struggle, what gets us off track is temptation. Temptation and how we deal with temptation. And we're going to see that this morning. But see, we're tempted primarily in three different ways. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And what it'll do is it'll get us off track. Now, I'm not talking about losing salvation here. That is not what we're talking about. We are talking about living a victorious Christian life, all right? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is where the enemy will get in and try to distract us, try to deceive us, and say, well, the word of God says that God has met all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And you say, well, I don't have money in my checkbook. And so we start to doubt the word of God. Are you with me this morning? And so it's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those things start to get in. Remember, Jesus said to seek the kingdom of heaven first, and all these things will be added. He said all of the world tries to get the things that we need. I've said before, and I'll say it again, you know, you and I will have true victory, I really believe, when we realize that what we think is the answer to our prayer is not the answer to our prayer. I know that sounds confusing, but the answer to your prayer is not the answer to your prayer. The answer to your prayer is Jesus. The answer to your prayer is his presence. Because, listen, if you and I would get consumed with the fire, the presence of God, even areas where we don't see something materializing, lining up with the word of God, if you will, we're so consumed by his presence that we're satisfied. And when that's the case, we don't need so many of the things that we thought we did, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. And then the things that we do, in fact, need according to his will, we get those things. The Bible says when we pray according to his will, we get the things that we would desire, all right? That's what the word says. So that's our struggle. 1 John 2:15, he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. In verse 17, it says the world is passing away. Let me explain it this way. I'm not saying that if you and I have a problem with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, or pride of life, that God doesn't love us. That is not what the word's saying. Let me put it this way. We don't have a revelation of the love of God that is big enough to help us when we're tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We don't have a revelation of the grace of God and how complete it is, and so we start to doubt, we start to fear. Does that make sense to you this morning? So it's not that God doesn't love us. God doesn't stop loving you. God doesn't stop loving you because you said something you shouldn't or did something that you should not have done. God's love is there for you and I to get a revelation of. And the more we grow in the wisdom and the knowledge and the revelation and the love of God, then the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those things we start to have a victory when we're tempted in areas. And listen, I'm just going to say this. If you and I are going to have victory in our lives, we're going to have to endure temptation and come out the other end victorious. We're going to have to. This is not about salvation. I'm not saying that when you blow a temptation that, oh, your salvation is taken away. I am talking about receiving the blessings of God. Now, the blessings of God are far more than just this life. We understand that. But certainly having a successful life, preaching the gospel, living in victory is the way that you and I can reach out to the lost world. And that's what the Bible tells us over and over again. For in him we live and move and have our being. Amen? And so if you and I would just realize, look, I'm facing a temptation, but because I am being consumed now with the grace of God, with the love of God, I'm satisfied. It's like that song we sang, consume me with your fire. I am satisfied with the presence of God. Therefore, I can endure temptations. And when you and I endure temptations, the Bible says, Paul the Apostle put it this way, that we receive the crown of life. We receive a victorious life. All right? The problem really is not that we have too much sin in our lives. Please stay with me here. The problem for most of us is we don't have enough of the presence of God in our lives. I mean, that's the problem. You know, Jesus took care of sin. How many believe that in this place this morning? He took care of sin. And so if you and I are struggling with a lifestyle, it's because we're not focusing on the grace of God and the victory that he has given us and how that love is all-consuming. We sing all-consuming fire. What does that mean? It means he burns us with passion from the inside out, and all the desires and the things of this world are just burn up. It's not something we even work at. It's just learning, you know, waking up in the middle of the night. I'll tell you, there were times I'd wake up in the middle of the night and I'd just start thinking and worrying about all kinds of stuff. But you know, I wake up now and I'm like, hello, what's up? Seriously. Say, do you talk to God like that? Not every time, but sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, I'm really tired, but I know that you're good. And I'll start to pray, or I'll start to sing a song. I mean, I just start to sing. And you know, and I'm not perfect, and I haven't got this all figured out yet. But I'm going to tell you something. When you and I get caught up in the presence of God, when we get up in the morning, it's like we just can't wait to, if you drink coffee, you can't wait to go have that first cup with him and to be in his presence. Maybe you don't drink coffee. You know, coffee is the Christian's drug of choice. You know that, right? Okay. Okay, you're probably thinking, I don't drink coffee. Yeah, but you drink Diet Coke. Or you drink those monster drinks, too many of them. All right, I'm meddling now. I don't want to do that. You know, we're in church. But if you and I would just get to the place where we're so caught up in his presence, listen, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, those things would not start to be as much of a problem, and we would endure temptation and receive the crown of life. So the problem is not too much sin. The problem is the lack of the presence of God in our life. And if you and I want more of the presence of God in our life, then we've got to draw near to him. Draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. We've got to start to consume the word of God, start to speak the word of God, start to desire the word of God. The Bible says that when we make God our delight, that he will give us what? The desires of our heart. Psalm 37, 4, 5. Again, allow him to be the answer to our prayers. The answer to our prayer is not the answer to our prayer. He's the answer to our prayer. Ephesians 1:3, it says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed, say has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Say every. This is a good scripture to keep in your back pocket. Come on, somebody. In the heavenly places in Christ. Listen, he has blessed us with everything. It says this in 2 Corinthians 1:20. It says the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, or so be it. The promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. And so you and I stand on those promises, receiving our inheritance, which is every spiritual blessing that we have been given. Jesus said this. He said, pray that the kingdom of God would come to this earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that what he said to pray? That's what he told us. He taught us to pray that way. And so we're walking in the power, the authority, the presence of God. This is really the key to victorious spiritual warfare. And we're going to get into the weapons and stuff that Paul breaks down in chapter 6 as we get through this series. But you and I have got to understand this is how it works. And then we'll start to dissect those a little bit, which is going to help us. So don't say, I'm trying to be rich. Say, I am rich in him. And start to say that and start to believe God. You say, but pastor, you haven't looked at my checkbook. I didn't say write rubber checks, all right? But believe God. You know, I'm so blessed. There's a testimony. You're going to see it in a little bit. A woman that goes to our church, Denise Whitney, and just a tremendous story. You'll hear it. I can't do the whole story justice. But because of a series of events, she really needed to divorce her husband for her safety, for her children. And really, when she divorced him, she was not the main breadwinner. She had a mortgage. She was homeschooling her children. She was working part-time, but she could not make enough money. And in this testimony, she talks about, and I remember telling me, this is several years ago when this happened, but we wanted to share her story with everybody, so you'll be seeing it real soon. And she said, you know, because sometimes we say, well, you know, in the area of finances, well, I can't afford to tithe and give offerings. I can't even pay my bills. You know, and I know some people would say, well, pay your bills first. I disagree with that. I'm just going to say it. I do. I've seen it happen in my life. I've seen it happen in other people's lives. Because here's the thing. And here's what she said. She said, I had this revelation. I couldn't pay my bills anyway, so I might as well just tithe. That's what she said. It came out of her mouth. I didn't tell her to say it. All right? And you know what? Because she gave to God first, and she'd tell you this. You'll see her video. Because she gave to God first, not only did he get her work, but he got her work around a schedule where she can work. She works in the medical department, medical field, where she can work on here in Traverse City and on the other side of the state. And when she's on the other side of the state, her mother and some other people are able to take care of her children. She still homeschools her children. Not only did she not lose her house to foreclosure, but she is paying her bills and continues to be a blessing and to honor God with her finances. And I'll tell you, so many times we think, well, I couldn't do it. Say, I am rich. I am rich because of what Christ has done for me. And we stand on the promises. Don't say, I'm trying to be strong. Say, I am strong. How strong? Christ strong. That's how strong. He has given us the victory. He has given us the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And in this life, you and I can enjoy the crown of this life, which is victorious Christian living. Don't say, I'm trying to be well. Say, I am well. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't let the devil get in your head with doubt and fear. Don't let him get in and start to mess with your mind. Don't let him get in and say that God doesn't love you and so-and-so doesn't love you and such doesn't love you and those kinds of things. Just deal, you know, people. How many know people can hurt us sometimes? People say things, I mean, it happens. Now, if you're running around trying to hurt people, then we're going to take you out. I'll turn that over to Andy. Okay. But things happen. But we can't get, remember, we owe no man anything but what? To love him. Flesh and blood are not the enemy. Are you with me this morning? And so what we do is we start to meditate on the promises of God. I am rich. I am strong. I am well. And don't let the devil get inside of our head. Matter of fact, I put it this way. So many of us are trying to fight for victory. We need to get used to fighting from victory. Does that make sense? It's a whole different attitude. We're not saying, oh God, please get me out of this mess. We're saying, I have the victory through Christ Jesus. I am strong. I am rich. I am well. How well? I'm kingdom well. That's how well. All of my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How do I know that? Because I give to God first and I let him take care of the rest. That's why. And we live that way. Say, but the devil will get in and say, well, oh, that pain that you got, you're going to die. And we think that right away, don't we? Isn't that just how it works? We'll talk more about this next week when we get together, but that's how the enemy works. The enemy, sometimes he'll get in and say, see those people over there? They're talking and they keep looking over at you. You ever get that? You're talking somewhere, you're at a gathering or a party or whatever, and so-and-so is talking and they keep looking, and they look at you. Right away, you're like, what are they talking about? My zipper down? I mean, you don't know. And right away, we think it's something negative, but you know, maybe they're planning a birthday party. You don't know. Surprise party. They don't want you to know. But you know what the devil does? They hate you. Not only do they hate you, now God hates you. See how this works. We need to fight from victory, not fight for victory. See, the devil is always trying to get us to think that we don't have enough of what we need. He's always trying to get, that's how he gets in. You don't have enough of whatever it is of what you need. I mean, this can be in finances. It can be in the area of healing. It can be in relationship issues. Just think about husbands and wives. Sometimes husbands and wives, you can think, well, you know what? She just doesn't look at you the way she used to. She must have a boyfriend. Well, why would you even think on that thought? Are you with me this morning? And so what we do is the devil starts to put lack in there. He'll start to tempt you with lack. Start to tempt you with lack. Well, so-and-so has this kind of house. What's wrong with you? You've been tithing and giving. How come you don't have that kind of house? Are you with me? This is how he works. And he starts to get in and make us think. Remember, Adam and Eve, when they fell, were in a perfect garden. They were perfect in a perfect garden, and you look at it, and God says you can eat of all the trees in the garden except one. And the devil came and said, well, if you eat that, you'll be just like God. You just take that one thing and cause us to think that that's something that we need. And that's what he'll do. He'll get in and make us think we don't have enough of what we need. Let me kind of break it down for you. Maybe this will help us understand. This is how we could just say this. Say, the devil is exposed. All right, so when we expose him, he's defeated. This is how he works, and this is how we control our thoughts. This is how you and I do spiritual warfare with the Word of God. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. He has given us the victory through Christ Jesus. The promises of him are yes and amen in what? Christ Jesus. He has become a sin for me so that I could be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? It's all what God has done in us, and so it may not line up in the natural, but that's our battle, is resisting the devil. And so what happens is, first we fear that God can't or won't meet my needs. Either God can't or that he won't. And that's where it starts. That's where temptation starts to enter. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Are you with me? Then we take control of our own life. We take control. It's like, you know, Adam and Eve, well, we'll just eat this because we'll be more like God now. And so what we do is we start to say, well, you know, I prayed for somebody once and they didn't get better. Therefore, that doesn't work all the time. God heals sometime. And people come up with these doctrines that are just so misleading. Or maybe you said, well, I'm going to try to honor God with the tithe. And you did, and things didn't change immediately. We're going to look at something in just a moment that's going to help you understand that when you're going through a battle and resisting temptation, you may not get the answer to your prayer immediately. That's where we resist the devil. And when we resist temptation, we're rewarded with what? The crown of life. And so what we do is we fear that God won't or can't meet my needs. Then we start to control our own life. And really what we do, some people put it this way, they call it making like an inner vow. We'll say, well, I'm never going to allow that to happen again because someone hurt us. Or we'll say, well, I'm never, and there's people who say, well, I'm never going to give my money to a church because I gave money and they mishandled it. I understand that. But listen, when we start to think that way, we are now playing into the devil's hand. We are now controlling our own life. We're not letting God control our life. Are you with me? Because we're choosing to trust God's word and not our situation or circumstance. Does that make sense? All right? This is how he works. And so when we start to control our own life, that's sin. That's separation from God. Matter of fact, I thought Jimmy Evans puts it this way. It makes so much sense. His book, and I highly recommend this book, it's called When Life Hurts. He says this about inner vows. He says, at its core, an inner vow is a decision of the heart to take control of our lives instead of leaning on God. And when we stop trusting God, the relationship becomes non-existent in that area. Doesn't mean God's cut you off. Doesn't mean God hates you. It says in Isaiah, is God's hand so short that he can't save? No, it's our separation from God, our sin, when we start to try to control our lives. And so what Jimmy is saying here, look, as soon as we start to take control of our lives, rather than leaning on God, we stop trusting God. And in that area of our life, our relationship with him becomes non-existent. We have now started to live our lives as our own boss, in control of our own future, our own destiny. And really what we do is we start to really not even love the Word of God like maybe we once did. We start to maybe not have the fellowship that maybe we once did. We start to think that everyone's against us. And really what it does is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. We start to get into pride. We can get in all kinds of different things. Because the devil is now taking us on the... And you know what? And if you understand... anything about boats or nautics or any of that. Listen, if you just get off 1 degree, I'm not talking about like East Silver Lake. I'm talking about like you get on Lake Michigan or the ocean. You get off 1 degree. I mean, you'll get off over there too. But do you know that if you cross a large body of water, you'll be off for miles of where you thought you were going? And that's all the devil wants to do is get you off just a little bit. And he will do it by allowing you to give in when temptation comes and to start to make excuses for your life. But you know what? God paid a dear price so that you don't have to make excuses for your life. He gave the price of his own son, Jesus Christ, so that you and I could live in victory with no fear, with no doubt, knowing that we have everything that we need to live a blessed life. See, there's a spiritual battle going on. You and I have got to realize that we have got to resist the temptation that the enemy is throwing at us. I've got just a couple more minutes, and I think it's going to help us understand, again, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Pride of life is a big one. It trips a lot of us up. I want to take a look for a moment before we dismiss this morning and look at a story in Luke chapter 4. And it's a story of Jesus' temptation. And the Bible tells us that right after Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came and then led him into the wilderness to be tempted. Okay? Now, he had to resist temptation to become victorious for us. But there's a spiritual truth here about us resisting temptation. And there's times, like I said, you're not going to pray for something sometimes and immediately see a change. It may happen. Miracles happen. How many believe in miracles? But there's times you've got to fight the fight of faith. Again, we're talking about a spiritual battle, all right? And we're talking about temptation. Temptation exists. Temptation is not sin. Temptation can lead to sin, but even if you sin, we still have the victory through Christ. Are you with me this morning? But if you want a victorious life, then you and I need to learn how to resist temptation and stand on the Word of God. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your waist girded about the truth. Are you with me? All right. Luke chapter 4, verse 3. And the devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, command the stone become. See, he hasn't changed. Remember, did God say in the garden? If you're the Son of God, it's the same way. He tries to get you and I to doubt our identity in Christ. And right there, we know what he's up to. And that's where you and I say, okay, he's trying to get me to doubt this. I'm not going to believe this. Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that what proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He's quoting about the story when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and where he fed them with manna. Remember, Jesus came and said, look, that wasn't even true manna. I'm the true manna of God. And the manna of God is the word of God. And God spoke this through Moses, recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And Jesus quoted that very thing. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us that it became bread. Don't you think if it turned to bread, if Jesus would have said, you know, I'm kind of hungry. And you matter of fact, I need a chair and I need a table. And he sat down and ate. Don't you think he could have done that? I mean, come on. But there's something to be said for resisting temptation. All right? You and I need to live by the word. We walk by faith and not by sight. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Verse 7, the devil, it says that he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And he says, if you'll worship me, all these will be yours. And Jesus answered him and said to him, get behind me, Satan, for it is written. Say, it is written. See, he said, get behind me. This is what the word says. When you and I have temptation, whatever it is, you say, nope, I'm not going to believe that. You say, you're praying for somebody. They said that you're going to die of cancer. Nope. You know what? Doctors are good. There is nothing wrong with doctors. They want to help, and they're good people. But you get a report from the doctor, you say, I am not going to believe that. I was just talking with someone the other day, and they got a report from the doctor, and they looked at him and said, okay, that's what you said, but I'm believing for healing. And they looked at him like, what kind of pill are you on? Check his chart twice. But listen, you and I have got to stand on God's word. And so Jesus said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus, again, in Luke 12, 31, said, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Worship God first. The answer to your prayer is not the answer to your prayer. He's the answer to your prayer. Are you with me? Worship him. Don't start to get caught up in lack. Don't start to get caught up in other people. Don't start to get caught up in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. He has given us the victory over those things. And when you and I embrace the word of God and resist temptation, every temptation, by the word of God and start to confess the word over our lives, we live a victorious Christian life. Verse 9. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He's quoting the word of God, telling Jesus, look, this is what the word says, so go ahead and put it to the test. And Jesus answered and said, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. See, don't doubt what the Lord has said. That is deception 101. The devil will get in and try to get you and I to doubt the word of God. He'll try to get you to doubt people that you're close to. He'll try to get you to doubt everyone in the world about everything. And then fear will start to come in. And you'll start to doubt God himself. Remember Genesis 3:1, has God indeed said? And then it tells us in Luke 4:13 that after the devil had tempted Jesus, he departed until a more opportune time. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. James 4:7-8. I want to leave you with this. Therefore, he says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you what? Double-minded. So he's saying, look, be single-minded. The Bible says, I have the mind of Christ in Christ Jesus. I have the mind of Christ. I'm not going to be wavered by every thought, every doubt, every fear that starts to come in my mind. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I am going to resist temptation. I am not going to allow the devil to steal the righteousness, right standing that God has paid for me and you with his son Jesus Christ. And that is how you and I fight the fight of faith. Amen. Let's pray. Father, today I thank you that the word of God has been sowed and planted in good soil. Right now I just say, devil, we are going to resist you. I pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen each and every one of us to be able to stand on the promises and the purposes of God, to not waver, to resist the devil, to draw near to God, to let you consume us with your presence.